If you have your Bible, turn tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, thou yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." I want to preach tonight for just a moment in time on this thought, if we can, on the opportunity to help. The opportunity to help. I want to say, there's always opportunity to help. I was talking to a fellow today, and he said that his wife got in the car with their little granddaughter, and said she walked around behind the car in the garage, put the little grandbaby in the car, buckled him in, I guess, went back around, got in the car, put the car in drive, and backed right through the garage door. Hey, man, does that sound familiar? But he said, "I looked around, I couldn't find nobody to help me." And he said, that was yesterday. He said, "Have you ever tried to put a garage door together by yourself?" He said, "It's pretty complicated." He said, "I couldn't find nobody to help me." And everybody was agreeing with him. Said, "No, a lot of times it's hard to find help. And it's almost impossible to find good help." Amen? Somebody that can help you, that'll you say, "Well, what is good help?" Good help is those that, while they're helping you, they'll encourage you. Amen? They don't look to see your faults, but they look to be a help to you and to encourage you and to help you to get what needs to be done, to accomplish something. Amen? I thank God for people that'll help you to accomplish something, for the opportunity to help. I thank God for the opportunity He gives me to be a help. When people call me and they call me to, ask me to pray or want to talk to me or need to see me, I thank God for that. It blesses my heart to be able to be a help, for that opportunity to help someone. You're a preacher, you're crazy. I wouldn't have your job. No, you probably wouldn't want it. But I thank God for it. I thank God for the opportunity I have to help people, all kinds of people. I mean, I went to get my phone, and when I transferred it over, and the fella took it back there, and he gave a dummy a smartphone. My daughter bought it for me because she said, "Daddy, you need to upgrade." I said, "I ain't upgrading. All I need to know is how to punch a number and hit send." She said, "No, with your missionary stuff," said, "instead of having it to go to mom and then come to you, you need to just upgrade so you know. So you need a smartphone." So I learned talking and it mocked me into it. I went out there, the fella got my phone. He said, "Well, I'll download your numbers for you." And he come back after a while and he didn't have my phone. And he said, "Mr. Massey," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you realize how many phone numbers you have in your phone?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "I have no idea." He said, "Well, there's over 600 phone, closer to 700 phone numbers in your phone." I said, "Well," I said, "I guess so." I said, "I got all my church people, and everybody they know." Amen. They're all in there. Praise the Lord. Why? Because they might be an opportunity to help somebody along the way. And when they've called me, I've contacted them, I put them in there, and then I've got them. Amen? So lots of opportunities are available for those that look for opportunities. And Paul tells them here in Philippians, he said, "Therefore." Now, if you see the word "therefore" at the beginning of one of Paul's writing, you got to stop and you got to rewind and you got to think, you got to ask yourself, what the "therefore," what is it there for? Amen? Why did he put "therefore"? Well, if you go back to chapter 3 in verse 20, he said, "For our conversation is in heaven." Amen. Our citizenship. Amen. Just as if we had already changed our residence, our mailing address, praise God, is Glory Hallelujah Boulevard. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, our citizenship's there, and said, we're eagerly waiting for the Savior to show Himself. Hello? He said, we're eagerly waiting for the Savior to show Himself, and when we see Him, we'll be like Him, and we'll be with Him where He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. That sounds exciting to me. Praise God. He said, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able. I like that. He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. All those things running around out here that we can't, you know, we try to reach and we try to get all the ends and we try to tie, we try to pull them together so we can tie them up. And we can't even get the ends together, much less tie them up, right? But He said God's able through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able, amen, to reach out and get all the ends, pull them all together. And one day, glory be to God, He's going to tie them up. Everything, what are you saying, Pastor? I said everything will be made secure. Everything will be made all right. Amen. Amen. So that's the wherefore He's tired. Therefore He's talking. He said, because we know what God is doing, we can exhort each other and lift up each other, praise God, because we know that our conversation, our citizenship, praise God, is in heaven and that we're looking for the Lord to come get us, to take us to be with Him. Amen? So He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul is sitting in jail. He's in a dingy, dark prison, chained up, locked up, amen, sitting there all by himself. Epaphroditus, he comes to him and he says, hey, listen, Paul. He said, well, we're in a mess. Said things ain't running as smooth as we'd like. He said, but and we've tried our best to get to you. We want to help you. We want to minister to you. Amen. He said, I know. We said the church knows what you're going through. We know your stand you're taking. We know what you're up against. And praise God. He said, they just sent me to come minister to you. And apparently, through the escapades that Epaphroditus has been through, trying to locate Paul. Paul was on the move. In case you hadn't noticed in the Word of God, Paul don't stay still too long. Even when he's in town, he's moving around. Amen? If there's a place to preach, praise God, he's preaching the gospel. He's telling somebody about Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Epaphroditus, he finds Paul and he tells him what's going on. He informs him on everything, praise God. And he's there and he's meeting Paul's needs. He's helping Paul out. But Epaphroditus, he becomes ill on his mention. Maybe he got caught in the rain. When he gets to Paul, he's sick. Paul's down there in the dungeon. Now, it ain't a very good environment for a sick person. So Paul helps to try to get him in up, and Paul's heart's a breaking. Amen. His heart's just slapped tired in two because this dear brother in Christ, praise God, this dear minister of the Word has come to him. He's brought him relief, brought him some encouragement, praise God, but he's about down himself. So you see Paul there, and he gets ministered to, and he sends Epaphroditus ever so carefully back on his way because he thinks, oh my goodness, something happens to him. What am I going to tell the church? Amen. See, some people could become embittered, praise God, because of the Lord was used this man. He went to do the work of God, got sick, and he would have died down there. A lot of people get bitter about that. Amen. Bobby might have hard feelings about that. Say, well, why would God do that? I mean, praise God, because he is good about doing a good work. And God said, praise the Lord, it's time to come home. Amen. There wouldn't be no difference in Enoch. Enoch was walking with God, praise God. One day at the end of the day, the Lord said, hey, Enoch, instead of going back to your house, just come on, go meet a man. And he went out and said he was not, because God took him. Amen. 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 Ain't a whole lot of things worse in this world dying. Amen. Yeah. You say, what's harder than dying? Living. Living's a whole lot harder than dying. Dying, praise God. If you're a child of God, you close your eyes here and you wake up in glory. You say, preacher, are you sure that? I'm positive that. God says so.
Amen.
Amen. But I don't want to belinger us. But we see Paul said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. So Paul's in the dungeon. He's locked up. He's confined. He's chained. But praise God, it's just like all of a sudden the dungeon just lights up. Glory fills his soul. Amen. That place is illuminated by the power of God. And he says, my dearly beloved. Now, these are not the beloved. He said, these are dearly beloved. He's thinking about the Philippians. Amen. He thinks about maybe that last time that he's seen them. And he said, remembers that old Philippian jailer, brother, as he is getting ready to go away, come up and reached and grabbed him around the neck, squeezed his guts out, and hugged his neck, tears running down his face. Said, "Oh, thank you, Paul. I love you."
Amen.
Amen. Little lady come up, praise God, tears run down her face. Little Miss Lydia come up here with a hand, that seller of purple. She come up here, she said, "Paul, do you have to go?" And Paul, praise God, his heart's a-glowing. He said they weren't beloved. He said they were dearly beloved. And Paul is radiating that glow. He said, "Dearly beloved and longed for." So, "Oh, Lord, if I could just go back there to that day." He said, "If I could just get some more of that right now." But he said, "Glory, thank you, Jesus. Amen, for just filling my soul where I'm at." Amen. He said, "My joy, praise God." He said, "I'm overflowing, Lord, with the joy from the Lord." And he said, "That my crown, my joy in my crown." Pray a crown, pray God. That soul winner's crown. Pray God, all of a sudden, that crown illuminates. He sees a mighty crown, amen, before his eyes. That soul winner's crown. Praise God. Bless his holy name. He says, "Hey," he said, "so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Amen. He said, "Just stand fast in the Lord." Praise God. He said, "Why?" Because there's an opportunity to help. And then he says, "I beseech you," I beseech Eudes and beseech Syntasia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now you got to watch this. Listen, before we ever get here, before he ever calls these ladies out by name, how would you like to be sitting there and the man of God's are reading the Word of God and all of a sudden he calls your name out? This one over here, that one over there. Amen. But he had some hints of that up to now. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. He said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Amen. He said, "Just as if I was there, praise God, I want you to work together for the furthering of the gospel." He said, "I want you to take every opportunity to help and encourage one another." Amen. Amen. You know how you get opportunities to encourage someone else along the way? You look for them. Amen. You get to looking for opportunities to help somebody, praise God, and God will work you to death. Amen. There's all kind of work to be done. People are like, "Well, preacher, what can I do?" Praise God, just ask that. Praise God, just make yourself available. You don't even ask God, just make yourself available. God, he'll put you to work. He'll make opportunities. Praise the Lord. Not only is he saying Philippians 1, 27, but look, it's Philippians 2 and 12. Philippians 2 and 12. Another hint, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as we have always obeyed, not as in my presence only." See, Paul says, "I'm not there," but he said, "There's some things going on that we need to take care of." He said, "We need to look for opportunity, praise God, to be a help." See, if we ain't careful, we don't look for the opportunities to be a help. Amen. He said, "Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Amen. He said, "Figure out where you're at." And he said, "Figure out where you need to be." That's working out your salvation. That's knowing where you stand with Christ Jesus as your Savior. Praise God. We need to figure out where we're at so we can get to where we need to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we don't get to where we need to be with the Lord. He said, "For it is God which worketh in you both the will and do of His good pleasure." Amen. So he said, God's wanting to work in you. He said, now watch this. He says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings." Did you hear that? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. He said, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." He said, in other words, he said, get to where you can let your little light shine. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, we get to where our little light shines, I believe we'd feel a whole lot better. Amen. We'd feel revived down our soul. We'll feel restoring, praise God, in the innermost parts when we begin to praise the Lord. He goes on in verse 20 in chapter 2. He says, for I have no man like mine. Well, let's go back to verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Amen. He said, I'm going to send faithful Timothy down there, Timotheus. I'm going to send him down there, praise God. He said, he's not a better man I could send. Because he'll teach you and he'll preach you. He'll show you the truth. And the truth of what? Set you free, praise God. And when you're free in the Lord, you're free indeed. Amen. He says, he goes on verse 21, says, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. So he see these little subtle hints he's putting out there that he's sending the message that he's sending by the church. Amen. Ain't it amazing how God puts these little subtle hints in there to show you where you need to be? He said, but we know the proof of him that he, as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Praise God. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Praise the Lord. But now watch what he says in verse 25. He said, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have a sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. But look what he said, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service to me. He said, you weren't able to be here, but he did. He took it, praise God. He came, praise God, to minister unto me. Praise the Lord. And then we see another hint in chapter 3 and verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, finally, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Remember, he said, the word is sure. He said, I give you a more sure word. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Amen. He said, beware of the concession. He said, that would cut and mutilate, that would tear apart. He said, be careful of that. He said, if it's cut and mutilate, and tearing apart, he said, it's not of God. Praise the Lord. She said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. So he's giving out these hints, the direction he's going with this whole book. Amen. To tie it all together so that they can have an opportunity to help. And then he comes back to chapter 4 and verse 2, and he says, I beseech, and he calls out these two ladies. And he beseeched them both. Now that word beseech literally means to call aside or to be called aside. Amen. So there was something going on in there between them. And Paul said, I beseech you, I call you aside, I call you apart. And now we know it wasn't a doctrinal issue, because if it had been a doctrinal issue, he would have gave him the Word of God and he would have said, this is what thus says the Word of God. He had told Epaphroditus, he said, take the Word back to him and tell him this is what God says. Amen. So there was something personal going on. And it was causing a conflict. So he said, you know what? Because of that, he said, what we need to do is use that as an opportunity to help. So he said, what we want to do is we want to help these two ladies. And as we're helping them, we're going to help the whole church. Praise the Lord. We're going to come to a place of the same mindness. So he said, I beseech him, call aside. And then he goes on and says that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now the Bible teaches us that there is such a thing as a same mind or a one-mindedness. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says this, be of the same mind one toward another. In other words, you don't think this about one and that about another. Praise God. We are to think, love, care for each other. He said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Amen? So he said, hey, listen, said, we need to be of the same mind. Come together in a one mind, in a one state of mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says this, now I beseech you, here that word is again, to come aside, come apart. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen? He said, need to come to a place that we're thinking in the same mindset. We're looking at it in the same way, in the same act, according to to godliness. Amen. So he said this same mindset that we have and we need to have is one that should be the same in all of us. Amen. Peter says in 2 Peter, he said that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. Amen. But he said it's given out, praise God, that we all might know the truth. Amen. And truth makes you free. And we need to know, he said, we need to come together. He said, I beseech you that these two ladies come together with them and come together as an opportunity to help each other. Amen. Now, I could just see this in my mind's eye. I thought about this today as I was sitting over in the study. And I could just see this as these two ladies is a sitting in church. And you got one that's over here, and you got the other probably way over here or way back there. Amen. Because there's something going on. It's not doctrinally. There's some kind of personal something that's happening. And so they've separated themselves. But when people separate themselves in church, they have a tendency to take sides. Other people begin to separate themselves too to that side. God doesn't take sides. Amen. God is there to pull together. Anything that separates and divides is not of God. Amen. So I can see in my mind's eyes, you got one over here and one back there, and as Epaphroditus, he brings that in there, he brings that back, and he gets back to Philippi, and he takes it, and he maybe gives it to the minister to read, or maybe he goes to read it himself, and holds it up so people can see that Paul's seal is on it. Amen. So Paul sealed, so that they know that he hasn't opened it, he hasn't added to it, he hasn't revised it in any way. But he's reading what thus says the word as inspired by the apostle Paul, the hand of Paul. And he opens this letter in their hearing and he begins to read it out loud before the congregation. See, that's what the apostles would start, that's what they would do. They would take these letters, Paul would send them to the church, and praise God, they would open it up, and that was the word from God for them. Amen. So he opens it up, he begins to read it, and that one's over here, and one's back there, and all of a sudden, they begin to look at him burning, and if eyes could burn, he'd have been on fire. They said, you went down there and told Paul everything about us. You went down there and told Paul all the things we were doing. He didn't have to. God already had. Amen. Paul's just pinning down, praise God, the word, and how we could be a help, an opportunity to help, praise the Lord. And so they get down there and they're reading, and they said, yeah, that he's talking about me. He's talking about, you know how when the preacher's preaching all the time, you're saying, yeah, somebody's told him about me. Yeah. I've been there. Who told that preacher I'd done that? Uh-huh. Who told a preacher I was over? Who told a preacher I did that? You look around, see who's got a smirk on their face. Because that's probably the guilty bird that ratted you out, right? the one that looks like the cat that just ate the canary and the feathers is hanging out. Amen. Big old smile and smirk. But praise God. But then you get down there and you take that thing and he takes that thing, he reads it, and they're seeing that, they're getting probably madder by the minute. And then you know one saying, well, it ain't my fault, it's that thing over there. Huh? Yeah, I'm just straight up. It's not me. It's that one. And then that group over here, it turns around and looks at that one back there. And that one up there, it's a gaze at this one down here. And then they all look at poor old Epaphroditus. And he's just up there minding the Lord, reading what Paul wrote. Amen. Now, can you see this? I mean, I can just see it just as plain as day. And Epaphroditus is reading that. And then they kind of start just bowing their heads and they're kind of like, man, I can't wait till he gets done with this so I can get out of here. And all of a sudden, he calls them by name. Huh? He said, I need to call aside Eunice. I need to call aside Sensatia. I need to call aside these two ladies. In other words, he said, I need you to pay attention a minute. Amen. He said, they needs to be a one-mindedness in the house of God. Now listen to what he's not saying. He didn't say, you need to be exactly alike in everything and all you're thinking. No, he said when it comes to godly stuff and the house of God, praise God, we've got to come together. They may be differences. And in case you didn't notice, every one of us is different. There's none of us live alike. There's none of us act alike. There's none of us move alike. There's none of us even talk alike, thank God. Amen? We're all different. But he said, we got to look past the difference, praise God. Let that person be different. But praise God, when it comes to the things of God, we've got to have a one-mindedness. We got to come together as one when it comes to the things of God.
Amen.
Amen? So that we can be about the Lord's business. He said, this is an opportunity to be a help. Amen. And he goes on here and he says, this same mindedness. Now, when he's talking about this, he's talking to these others, and he said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now I don't know who it is. They say tradition says this may have even been the Philippian jailer that he causes him this true yoke fellow. I mean, really God in there going for Lord, praise God. We don't know that. He said, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Who do we know that labored with him? Well, we know Lydia did. And we know those ladies with her, praise God. When they wasn't even a synagogue, they wasn't enough men to make up a synagogue, so they went down by the river to worship God. Amen? They had to have 13 adult Jewish men, praise God, in order to start a synagogue. Apparently they didn't have it, praise God, so they went down by the river on Sunday morning, praise God, first day of week, whatever, and they worshiped God. He said, they labored with me. They helped start and get the Philippian church of Philippi off the ground. Praise the Lord. He said, with Clement also, with other our fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, I want you to see how briefly he just sweeps by this thing. He mentions this thing. Praise God. And he goes on. And he said, oh yeah, by the way, and this is the only place it's mentioned right here. He said, don't forget your name. Their name is written in the book of life. Don't forget about the eternal cause that we're all working toward. Amen. Don't forget the opportunity to help, praise God, because we're all headed in a common direction. Amen. We're trying to get a work done. We're trying to accomplish something that's out of this world. Amen. Can you see it? So he said, all need to be same-minded. Amen. He said, in other words, what he's saying here, he said, we got to have the right kind of righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, ye doubtless, I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, I count all the things I used to do, all things I used to have, he said, are just done, something to be cast away. Amen. That I might gain Christ. That I might win Christ, that Christ might be the most important part. Amen. All that other stuff, he said, I've chunked it, I've done got rid of it. Amen. It'd do us good to get rid of some stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, and be found in Him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness. Now what he's talking about here is right righteousness. Did you know there's a wrong righteousness? Amen. It's called self-righteousness. Amen. There's a whole lot of self-righteousness in the world. Well, yeah, you know, preacher, I'm so much better than they are. That's what that one back there was thinking about that one up there. Amen. I'm so much better than that one. Amen. But that's self-righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he said, what of God? He said, I've got to have the right righteousness in order to make this work. In order to have an opportunity to help, I have to have the right kind of righteousness. My righteousness, Bible says, is as filthy rags. As good as I can be, praise God. Paul says under the law, as good as I can be to try to do right. He said, it's not good enough. But when your righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, he said, it's a whole lot better. Amen. Praise God. Have you ever tried, well, I've talked about it many times, how you try to turn over a new leaf, try to do a little better, and it seems like that side of the leaf's just as dirty and nasty as the other one. Amen? And it don't take you very long to realize that you're just back where you was, going in the same direction, trying to get a different result. It don't ever work. Amen? But praise God, when you trust the Lord and live for Jesus Christ, praise God, He makes a difference. Amen. So he said we got to have the right kind of righteousness, but he also said we got to forget about looking back. Amen. See, there was a situation come up somewhere along the line, and he said, you've got to forget about that situation. He said, you've got to let the past be the past. You've got to come along with some forgiveness and some right righteousness, praise God, and move on, praise God, for the glory of God. Look for an opportunity to be a help. If we ain't careful, we get stalled out in a place and we're not helping nobody, not even ourselves. But he said, when we come alongside and we begin to look for a place that we're not looking back. In chapter 3 in verse 13, he said, brethren, and now he's talking to believers, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. He said, there comes a time when you've got to let the past be the past. And said, you got to press on for the future. If we ain't careful, the devil will bog us down in our past. He said, well, you know what you did back then. You know what you did last week. You know what you did this morning. Amen. And he'll get you bogged down in that and you can't proceed. Praise God, we got to forget about the price. He said, Lord, forgive me a sinner, pray from the earnest of our heart and press on for the prize of high calling. Yeah. Amen. Paul said, we got to quit looking back, praise God. We know where God brought us from. We know where the devil would like to keep us, but praise God, we're going on for the Lord. Amen. Looking for an opportunity along the way to be a help. You say, why would we do it? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He had compassion on us. Amen. In Mark chapter 8, verse 2, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitudes. Amen. Now I got to think about this today. Because I was reading through the book of Mark. I read book of Mark a lot. When I feed me, I read through the book of Mark. Sometimes I'll read through the book of Mark in one setting. Just all the way through the book of Mark. Because Mark is a book of action. I mean, there ain't no stunt. He said, forthwith a nun, right away, immediately, man. I mean, it's a book that's happening. I think that's what needs to be in the world today. It needs to be happening. Amen. Pressing on, getting the job done for Lord Jesus Christ. And he's pressing on. Mark says, you know what? Jesus said, it's in red writing. Mark 8, Jesus said, I had compassion on the multitudes. Now I was sitting there today, I thought, well, you know what? That multitude. I mean, probably thousands. Well, he fed 5,000 men at one time. So we know there's at least 5,000. I wonder what kind of people they were. You reckon they was all likable? You reckon they was all even tolerable? You reckon they was all there for the right reason? They was there to see the Lord and get help and to grow in their faith and get to look into God and getting the righteousness of the Holy God in their heart. You reckon they was all there for that? No, the Bible says, He goes on and said, Jesus said they were there for the bread and the fishes. Some of them just wanted the handouts. Amen. Some of them wanted the hand-ups. Amen. So they was all there for different reasons. But Jesus looked on the multitude, had compassion on the multitude. Amen. He was looking for an opportunity to be a help. And he was indiscreet in what he did. It was everybody. Amen. He didn't pick out. He said, well, I'll help that one. I'll help that one. Just run those on off in the lake. That would be me. I said, them rogues ain't even paying no attention. Tell them to go on out of here. Huh? That one done fell asleep. Wake him up. Tell him just go on. Right? But he had compassion on the multitude. And they was all unique. They all come from different backgrounds, different life, different situations, different financial status. Amen. Probably rich men there. Just come see what's going on. They said a lot of them come out of curiosity. They said, we never seen it on this fashion. Amen. So there's a multitude of people, and they come for all kinds of different reasons. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, praise God, the same situation we have here. Different people come, different attitudes, different places, people in different situations. I talked to somebody yesterday and said, you know what? We never know what people's going through. Amen. And we don't. Sometimes people may be grumpy. Did you wake up grumpy today? No, she said she left him asleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we never know what somebody's going through, what kind of day they're having. And if we judge people on one instance, if we ain't very careful, we do. And we'll hold that. He said, we know what? We need to get past that. And we need to love them, praise God, no matter how grumpy they are. Because it may be a situation, it may be something they're going through that day. We don't know how they are. We don't know how they are financially. Some people may be well off, maybe, you know, be just cruising along. Got everything they need. They may be other people that look like they are, but they ain't. A fella told me he's delivering packages over here at Biltmore Lake. And said, big fancy homes, I mean, million-dollar homes. And said, you go knock on the door, take a package, and it opened the door, and they was sitting on milk crates and had a wire spool for a table. But they were looking good from the outside. See, there's a lot of people that's looking good from the outside, but they're a wreck on the inside. Amen? And what Paul's to tell us here, praise God, we need to look for an opportunity to be a help because we don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. We look for that opportunity because Jesus cared for the multitude. We've got to have that same kind of compassion. Praise the Lord. We've got to look for that most important part. What's the most important part? Jesus said in Mark, look at Mark chapter 12, and I'm done. I'm going to quit. I've got more, but I'm going to quit after this. Mark chapter 12. The Bible says there was a scribe come to Jesus. And having heard them reason in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now listen to this. He said, what's the most important thing that God has to say? Are you listening? You getting this? He said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Lord, our God is one Lord. He said, there's only one true and living God, and that's Jehovah, God Almighty. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Now watch this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul and with all the strength. Now, did you get this? Now, pay attention right here. He said, love Him with all your heart, all your understanding. Understanding. Peter said, we're supposed to love our wives in an understanding way. Amen. According to knowledge. With all the understanding and with all the soul, that's that innermost part, and with all of your strength, the effort, and love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Amen. He said, you know why? Because he said, you know what? If we look for an opportunity to be pleasing to God, to realize, to magnify God, to lift Him up as the God of glory, the God of heaven, and love Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Amen. And he said, there's never been a man that despised himself. Never been a man that didn't lie, that didn't love himself. We don't have no problem loving ourselves. You know, that's not a problem for most of us. We're pretty fond of self. But he said we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And he said, look for an opportunity to love them, amen, to love those neighbors. Paul goes on in this, Philippians 4 in verse 10. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, you know what? He said, I know you wanted to. You took care to. Amen. They laid aside money to take to him when he's in Macedonia. He said, you just didn't have the opportunity. Amen. But Paul says, you know what? He said, but now there's no lack of opportunity. I want to say today, children, there's no lack of opportunity to be a help. Because there's people all over this community that are in need of help, that are desiring help, are longing to be helped. Amen? And praise God, and when we reach out and touch, when we reach out to them, and we offer them a hand, praise God, there's nothing like it in the world. But to give them the touch of God, the love of God, to show them that kind of love. That's what people need. That's what people are looking for. That's what people are missing. They're missing the love of God. You won't find it. Amen. You just won't find it in this world. Our morals, our convictions, our standards have went from way up here to way down here. And everything is about me, me, me. But you know what? We need to be looking for opportunities to be a help to someone else.